Welcome back to Pro Wrestling Edge. I am Daniel Mack, and we have a great episode for you today. Before we get to our guest, just want to let you know you can find all of our stuff on all social media platforms at PW Pod, and then over at Brainbuster Tees, you can find our merch store. Go check us out there. And also check out Nine Planets Comics and Collectibles. They're at 20702 Van Born Road in Dearborn Heights, Michigan. Give them a call at 313-724-6482. Tell them Pro Wrestling Edge sent you. You can find them on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. And they do a lot of unboxings, which are pretty cool. Some of the stuff that they're getting in. So they kind of keep everyone updated on what new stuff they get in. So they got some pretty cool stuff over there now. I was just there not long ago, and they got some pretty cool stuff on their shelves. So go check them out. Well, our guest tonight, well, we record this tonight. We had him on a few years ago, but kind of in a group setting with some other people from RPW. But we got Peapod. What's up, man?
Hey Dan, thanks for reaching out having me on. Yeah, it's been a couple of years. When I first joined on, I just joined into RPW, and I was with all of our crew, and a couple of crew members came and went and everything, but I'm still there holding it down for RPW, and very excited to just kind of chop it up with you tonight.
You know, we're big fans of you here at Pro Wrestling Edge, and now that you've been with RPW a while, you're starting to do more things outside of RPW with other promotions. So before we get into all that, your commentary and what you're doing now, but it's just something I'd like to start with everybody. When did you start becoming a fan of wrestling? Have you been a fan your whole life, or did it come later on, or?
I first got a taste of pro wrestling when I was a kid, and my father would come home from the restaurant he owned, because I'm originally from Akron, Ohio. I reside in Toledo, Ohio. And his restaurant that he owned at the time was in Mansfield, Ohio. So it was about like a 45-minute drive back. And he would come home a little bit before 8 o'clock, and he would turn on pro wrestling, and me and him would watch Monday Night Nitro. But I had a very staunch 8:30 p.m. Bedtime, so I could only get to watch like the first part. And then when everybody like was kind of like around me, around in middle school, like sixth, seventh grade, a lot of people were starting to get out of wrestling, and I was getting into wrestling. The big storyline for context, because I'm near 40, I'm in my upper 30s. The context was the big storyline was Triple H just married Stephanie McMahon, so it was like that, like still in the Attitude Era. Still a little bit of the Monday Night Wars. My very first live event, fun fact though, my very first live event I ever went to was the WWF Raw, where it was announced that Shane McMahon bought, quote unquote, bought WCW. So I was at that Raw during that time. And then since then, I've always been a wrestling fan. I had while I was in college, I did a pro wrestling talk show on college radio at the University of Toledo campus called Capture Suplex Radio. And me and four of my closest friends, we all like got into wrestling, and we discussed wrestling and kind of a little bit of what you guys do here at Pro Wrestling Edge. And we even interviewed some independent wrestlers. We even got to be backstage at a WWF Raw a couple times, a couple of house shows, and just broadcast live, which was a lot of fun. And I got really into wrestling from there. And then while I was in college, I learned more about independent wrestling. So I was really into like Ring of Honor. When I got into independent wrestling, it was during the Ring of Honor CZW big feud. So that was huge. And then I got into stuff like Chikara, and I got into like IWA Mid-South, and then I started growing more, and then I was watching like Dragon Gate in Japan. I was following UK stuff, and I wanted all of the wrestling. And then one of my closest friends unfortunately passed away, and I stopped watching for a little bit, and then I got back into wrestling right at All In. And then I saw All In. I was amazed because the idea of just like this just independent these wrestlers decided to just pull their money together and put on a giant show. Sold out in Chicago, and it was amazing. And I knew about Bullet Club, and I was getting hip to all of that. And then while during that time, I graduated college with a bachelor's in communication. I joined a radio station. I was part of Cumulus Media in Toledo, and I became a radio broadcaster for 11 years. And then when I left wrestling, who's no longer with RPW, and unfortunately he left a couple of years ago, but Stoney Schiavone invited me on to RPW. He's like, hey, we'd love to use your voice. You can do now more. You can't do much. You couldn't do much, side stuff, especially broadcasting stuff due to Cumulus and time and energy, but now you're not. So why don't you join us with RPW? And I reached out to Chris and I was like, hey, I'd love to be a part of it and, use my talents and everything. And Chris knew me from the radio morning shows. And I even brought him on before COVID hit to help promote the very first RPW show that never really happened. And he's like, yeah, I mean, this is going to be a labor of love at first, but if you want to jump on, you can jump on. And I was like, I like wrestling. I have a 9 to 5. I like to talk. I'm in. And, the rest is history. And I just celebrated 3 years with RPW. And like you said before, I'm starting to branch out. It's been a crazy, wild world so far being a part of independent wrestling. So it's been a lot of fun. I've been enjoying myself.
So I was gonna ask you, but you talked right into it of watching stuff overseas from Japan and the UK. I got to a point where in my wrestling fandom, I kind of stopped watching WWE and I was into TNA some, but I was more into New Japan and their stuff with Ring of Honor before All In. So when All In happened, I was like, that was like the Holy Grail for me, because all these guys that I'm watching, NWA had their resurgence, and I'm watching, Nick Aldis carry that, and then Nick Aldis and Cody Rhodes, or Cody Rhodes' favorite, even at the time when he left WWE, and it's like, I'm getting to see these great matches, and it's not in WWE, and for these guys, like you said, on an independent scale, to put something like that together. That was so fascinating. That was just so awesome to see, guys that just love the business put something like that together. And it did draw a lot of people back that was falling away from wrestling. So
It
that
was really
was
cool.
like, that was a time where a lot of people we've interviewed said they've come back to wrestling, was that time, and kind of leaving the same time that you left. I know you talked about it briefly, but once you graduated and you got in the radio, so full transparency to you, I grew up in Monroe. So
Okay.
when I grew up in Monroe, it was not, we didn't, my parents didn't take us to Detroit for things. Yeah, we'd go to like the Tigers games every now and then, but we went to Toledo for everything. So, and then growing up, moving away, moving up, I'm in the Metro Detroit area now, but I always kept tabs on Monroe and always kept tabs on Toledo. And when Chris announced that Peapod was joining, I was like, oh shit, Peapod's joining RPW. I was like, that's somebody that I know
And so you
over
knew,
the years.
you knew me from my radio time. Yeah, it's wild to me because of the 11 years I was on radio, I was on air for 7. And for those who are not in the Metro Detroit, Toledo, or Northwest Ohio, Southeast Michigan area, I did most of my stunt on air for an alt rock station called The Zone. It was on the frequency of 100.7. It was very weak. You can only get it in the Toledo area. But I also started branching out while I was on there. I did stuff for our classic rock station, 94.5 XKR. I did stuff in Monroe a little bit when it was a hot AC, or no, it wasn't hot AC. It was AC. It was called My 98.3, and I did a little bit of there. And yeah, and I and then I was I did on air. I was part of the promotions department. I was part of the digital department. I literally did almost every position in radio outside of being a salesperson. So I that's how I got my stay. And the amount of people that, and this is not like me being egotistical or anything like that, because I to this day I still get it. Like, people will still remember me, and I've been removed from radio. I left radio April of 2021. So it's been 3 years removed from radio. There was still people that knew me when I left radio, they thought it was a big deal. And like when I was around, like I was a quote unquote local celebrity. Even Chris had told me that. Like, you know, and I was like involved in the music scene and things like that. I've kind of taken a step back, especially now with wrestling things popping off and things like that. You know, people were like, you know, you were a thing, you were a big thing. And it didn't like I was oblivious to it. Like I didn't like I would get like recognized or I thought it would be a cool like cool thing to be recognized, but I guess it was a really big thing that like I made people's like mornings or people knew the name Peapod and everything. And it only made perfect sense when I transitioned into wrestling that I would use that name. Everybody in a lot of people in radio use a stage name. Everybody in wrestling uses a stage name. Might as well use it. So it was a kind of a perfect transition. So that's hilarious that you remember me from
Yeah,
radio and now we're here.
I saw the post that Chris put out on social media. And I messaged our group chat. I was like, oh shit, you guys need to check this out. I was like, Peapod is joining RPW. And they're like, what? What's going on? Like, and you had mentioned wearing all those different hats when you were in broadcast. And Chris told you what this was. It was very early on in the life of RPW. And so it was probably going to be a lot of helping out everywhere. So it's not something that you weren't already used to, helping out all over.
I made the joke that like radio trained me to be in wrestling. Like and I brought it and I like and for a hot minute I did the RPW podcast and then I had to take a break from that just because it was there was a lot of like moving parts and like with life and work and everything and just trying to balance all that. I'm like I can't record a podcast and hunt down people and everything. I could bring it back to like even Chris has told me it's like you can bring that back whenever you want, but like the last episode we ever did was with SPO and I'm like I really don't want to do another one beyond that. I mean, if I did, I'd reboot it, I'd retool it and whatever. But I'm just like, with everything going on with my job now, I work as a marketing director for a company now, and I'm gonna keep that off just because. And then life at home and everything, and you know, with all the wrestling shows and you know, I got and, you know, family, I got little ones and things like that. So you know, I just don't have the time. I mean, I help out with Chris's Real Vile podcast, but it's literally doing a Zoom call, and I play video games while they talk for about an hour and a half about horror movies because I don't give two craps about horror films. But I want to help the good brother out. It's a great avenue for a lot of people, and I'm technologically a little bit more advanced than Chris. Sorry, Chris, I love you, brother, but it's kind of the truth. But it's fine, and you know, and also in RPW, not only do I do the broadcasting, I help set up shows, I help clean up, I help run some of the social media. You know, I helped put together sales packages for like potential sponsors, like you know, I wear a lot of hats, and that's what you want to do when you're a budding business. You want to do more. You know, you want these presentations and everything. You want to look like you have all your ducks in a row. You want to look like $1 million, even though you're not making $1 million. It's all about, you know, presentation at the end of the day, no matter what.
You know, one of the things early on with, because I think it's been known, like we touched on a little bit on the podcast, that we had a rough 2023 at Pro Wrestling Edge. So we've kind of taken a step back from being active, going to shows and things. You know, we still, promote and love our extended families that we have in wrestling, but we've kind of taken a step back a little bit. But when we were going a lot, one of the things that early on, you getting into wrestling, I was like, he understands is not only were you doing the extra work and finding out about these wrestlers so you could talk about it and incorporate in the commentary, because a lot of independent wrestling commentary, it doesn't always happen where there's a lot of help from the commentators when it comes to telling the story. And from
That's
early on, you made an effort when we were around a lot where you would talk to these guys and you would ask me. Heck, we sponsored a lot early on for RPW, and you would come to us like, hey, What do you want me to say? Is there anything going on special that you want us to add when we talk about Pro Wrestling Edge as a sponsor or anything? You would always do that. And from the very beginning, you took that extra step to just make your role on what you need to do, that much better.
It's that broadcasting in me that I always, and I'm also like, I've always just been, I'm a former Boy Scout too. So it's the whole be prepared thing. And I always want to come prepared because also at the same time you mentioned it, a lot of commentators don't do that. And I always want to come into it that if it's your first time watching somebody, because a lot of the times, sometimes it is my first time knowing somebody. I want to know, I want to make it easy for you to understand. So if you're jumping in for the first time, you're watching an RPW show or any other company that I'm doing work with, I want you to understand who these people are and why everything's important. And then also promote where else you can watch them or where else or what else they have done and everything. It's keeping them up to speed. I've used this metaphor so many times at so many other interviews, and I'm going to keep saying it, but good commentary is like curtains on a house. When they're there and they're good, you barely notice it. It ties the room together. When they're bad, when commentary is bad, when curtains are bad, you notice it a mile away. And a lot of people and a lot of talent. And I'm very like I'm gonna pat myself on the back a little bit on this, but like a lot of talent is starting to like notice that too. They're like, hey, they like this past show in Miasma, I'm not gonna say who, but I had a handful of talent come and message me and go, hey, you were great. Thank you for doing your homework. Thank you for making the match that much more important. You're incredible. Please keep it up. And that to me is the world. Like, and seeing my peers seeing that, like, I'm doing well. The only experience I've had is just knowing how to talk into a microphone for about 11 years. That's all my experience. Beyond that, for wrestling, it's 3 years. So you take that mentality of like broadcasting and the stuff and like what I've done for training for all of that in that world, and you take that professionalism and then you fold it into do what's going on. And I always like the idea of like that kind of somewhat sports presentation style of commentary. And like, yeah, these men and women are hitting each other with very questionable objects. All right. It's very brutal. It's very ridiculous. But we can make it sound important and impactful and just add a little bit of salt to the dish that is their match. I'm not there to get my shit in somebody else's match. My job is to help, be the narrator in what's going on. And if I don't do a good job, then that means their wrestling doesn't mean squat. Because then people are going to concentrate on why is so and so talking like this? Why is so and so doing this? Who is this commentator? And like, I'll even tell you, like, this is a funny story for King of the Kill. So during the King of the Kill, like people were like complaining that I was speaking a little bit softer and everything, or I got really tired. I was exhausted by the end of that weekend. And also come to find out after King of the Kill weekend, I went into the hospital for about a week. Because
Right.
I had stones in my gallbladder, so like I had to get my gallbladder removed. So I was so beyond that, I was just getting sicker and sicker throughout that whole weekend, not unbeknownst to me, until I went to the hospital for a week. So like I can understand, like listening back, like we were just tired. Myself and John Bullard were also tired because John was also doing double duty for being a.
Ring
Being
announcer.
the ring announcer and then coming and you've been to the place and maybe
Right.
going up that ramp, going outside from the heat, going up that ramp, coming in, broadcasting, talking, then coming back out and announcing things. That was a lot. By the end of the thing, there's some crazy shit going on. We were exhausted and people noticed that. And that was a misstep on us. But that's fine. The key is to just add enough so people still becoming engaging for what is going on in the ring.
I think I kind of looked at that a little different. My only gripe about King of the Kill, because I had messed up my knee and I couldn't come, was IWTV's live stream was bad that day.
I mean,
I had a hard time watching it, so I was just swearing at IWTV, not at you guys. But I took it as, you guys are leaving everything out there at that commentary table, just like these guys are leaving everything out there in the ring. I looked at it as you were just as invested in what was going on and feeling what those guys were going through than actually, oh, he's tired. Maybe I look at things differently, but I thought just like how it went as the show went on. I was like, man, these guys are really feeling it, and it's taking a toll on them. So I looked at it as a positive, not a negative. So maybe I'm just different.
Well,
But
great.
I looked at it that it helped. The energy and life was sucked out of you just as much as it was Tommy when King of the Kill was over.
Oh yeah. I mean, and sure, maybe I was overthinking it, or maybe I was seeing the few messages on Deathmatch Elite and whatnot that'll be really loud that week and whatever. Nothing against them. Everybody's very passionate about what their wrestling is, and there's nothing wrong with that. It is a wonderful time to be becoming a wrestling fan. I kind of talk about this little cycle a little bit, and I've never really talked about this cycle like in an interview yet, so I'll share it with you. So like the cycle for wrestling for me, like you become like first a fan and you're loving it, the fan, everything. Then you like read the dirt sheets and you're starting to like understand maybe the backstage politics and things like that and everything. And then you become like what I call like the armchair booker, thinking that you know more, or you think you could book better and things like that. And now sometimes at that point, some people go off and then start like complaining online and messaging wrestlers and being like a real asshole about things about wrestlers. And those are the types of people that I just can't stand, that are just like they're passionate fans, but the passion is turning into rudeness. And like that's what I don't like. Now being in wrestling, after learning all that stuff, I now can see it differently, but I can go back to that fan point of view, because then I can be really excited about everything. But then I can also see it and I'm like, okay, I can listen to like the commentary more about like how they're presenting it on television, or hey, I can do studying about like different moves and everything, and or I can get really excited again about like what watching on, or like the opportunities and the business plans of like seeing like AEW working with like New Japan and then working with CMLL and things like that, and what WWE's doing, and like wrestlers showing up from WWE into a GCW event. Like, it's insane to me becoming like a tribalistic fan in 2024, because there's so much wrestling out there that if you don't like something, just switch the channel. Like, you don't have to go out of your way to insult and hope for like the failure of a company or the failure of a wrestler. Like, that's insanity to me. I'm always the type of person, and this is just me, that if I like something, I'm going to support it with my time, energy, and money. If I don't like something, I'm not going to give it time, energy, or money. I'm just going to, it's not for me. It's all right, but I'm glad you like it, and then just move on. Like, I prefer AEW over WWE. Nothing wrong with WWE. WWE right now is doing some really rad stuff, but there's the wrestlers or the presentation or whatever they're doing over there. Nothing over there like interests me, which is fine. I'm glad people are enjoying it. Hell, WWE doing great is a phenomenal thing, but then it also makes AEW great, or it makes TNA great, or MLW great, or New Japan great, or whatever. Like, there's so much great wrestling out there. Like, you just enjoy it. Just strap in and go for the ride. The idea of like being a tribalistic fan is weird to me. Like, just watch wrestling. Just enjoy all of it.
If you haven't seen it yet, I know there's clips out online, but AAA, Nick Nemeth and Alberto Del Rio just had a match
Hell yeah.
last weekend, or I think it was the weekend before. If you haven't seen it, try to find it, or at least clips of it. That match was outstanding. And people, oh, Alberto Del Rio, blah, blah, blah. But that match was one of the best ones I've seen lately.
Yeah. And it's amazing. Like Nick Nemeth, like Nick Nemeth is an incredible athlete, and it was incredible in WWE. And now he's like having gonna have free range and like going to New Japan, or going and doing TNA and going to do Mexico stuff. Like, that's so rad. That's awesome. All the stuff that Matt Cardona did, all the stuff that Cody Rhodes did before, he went back to WWE. It's an amazing time. It's awesome. It's just wrestling. It's just it's I love being a wrestling fan right now. I hate being a wrestling fan sometimes because of other wrestling fans and how they treat others and how they treat each other. But I still love being like a wrestling fan. It's an amazing time right
I'm
now.
over here laughing because I know exactly what you mean. How much exposure did you have to deathmatch wrestling before you came into RPW?
Not enough. Like I said, when I first got into independent wrestling, I got into the Ring of Honor CZW feud. So like I watched some CZW, and I knew people like the Human Tornado and Kings of Wrestling and Blackout and Drake Younger and a lot of those cats, Amazing Red, a lot of the seeing Ricochet doing stuff as a young skinny dude, furry hair, like doing double moonsaults and whatnot. Like, I was into that, and I knew a little bit of like IWA Mid-South. Not enough, but I watched it. Like I saw Mickey Knuckles, and I saw guys like Chuck Taylor, and I saw Chris Hero and early CM Punk and things like that. So, but I never watched like modern, quote unquote, modern deathmatch until I jump into RPW. And Chris made fun of me about this recently when we went over to see Ruthless Wrestling in Cleveland just recently. And he's like, when you first got into wrestling, you were like audibly like not faking it, you were like audibly like disturbed by it. And I'm like, well, yeah, because like these dudes are hitting each other. Like I knew about light tubes, but like people were like real mangling each other with gusset plates and like throwing each other into doors and everything. It was just insanity to me. And now it's another day in the park, and it's just like I'm all for it, and I love seeing the reaction from people about discovering modern deathmatch wrestling. And I even tell people that like if you want to check it out, if you're intrigued by it, go to a live show, because live deathmatch is completely different than watching it on TV. Like it's like basically watching a live horror film. That's what pretty much it is. And a lot of, there's a lot of similarities and a lot of crossover in the audiences between horror franchises and deathmatch wrestling. But it's still a lot of fun. It's just one of those, like, just sometimes you just, it's almost cathartic in a way to just see these men and women, beating the hell out of each other. But it's a lot of fun. And when I jumped into RPW, I just kind of jumped in head first about everything, and from there, and it's very fascinating now with like the discussions about what happens if light tubes go away from death matches. What are you gonna do? Well, you gotta figure it out. You
Right.
gotta evolve with the times, much like anything else in life. You just gotta kind of have to learn new skills. You gotta evolve your game. You gotta just improve your game little by little. So that's why I always loved like the idea of like people like Akira, or people like, Ricky Shane Page or Atticus Coger, that like can straight up really wrestle, but then also can throw it down in the death match. It's an incredible, it's incredible.
And don't forget the two pillars of Michigan, Ty Mandetta, and I know
Of
Ty's not
course, of
very liked in
course.
RPW right now, but Ty Mandetta and MM3 are two of the best at who can do it all as well.
I think 2024, those two are going to pop off on a national scale. I truly believe it, and I feel like Tommy's been doing some incredible stuff. He really has, and his run as Rust Belt champion in RPW was fun because now it's overseas right now. But it was a lot of fun, and he's really coming in his own. And MM3, a lot of people still aren't like hip to MM3 for some reason. I think MM3 is a fantastic talent that can literally do it all. The dude can tag, the dude can high fly, the dude can technical wrestle, the dude can throw it down in a death match. Those two are very special talents.
He has a thing where, I have the pleasure of being friends with Three, and he has a thing where his goal is to be the best wrestler in the world, and he thinks that he is, and he thinks that there's no other answer than to be the best in the world at what he does, and he's like you said, I don't know why not everybody's got on board, they're going to pretty soon, because he's like you said, him and Tommy's both about to be huge on a national level.
I think so.
So you've been with RPW for 3 years now, and now you're starting to branch out and do commentary and work with other promotions. Where else are you working? Who else are you working with? And after that, do you have anything coming up? that you want to plug yourself?
I will be doing more stuff with Flophouse Wrestling. They have an event coming up in next weekend, depending on when this is coming out. They'll have a show at the Eighth Side in Lincoln Park, Michigan. It's called Shine Like a Wizard. It's at a gaming and ramen shop in Lincoln Park, Michigan. We're gonna do wrestling in the parking lot, so it's gonna be a lot of fun. And then gonna throw down in some like some card games. So if you like Magic the Gathering, if you like Pokemon, you like Disney Lorcana, you like D&D or Warhammer and all that stuff, bring your stuff and join us for that. I'm gonna be doing that. I am going to be part of John Bullard's Chaotic Combat Wrestling in June. I'm going to be at the desk for there. Some of those shows are going to be announced. One has been announced, but there's going to be there's going to be some things going on in June from them. Obviously, RPW will always be number one, and our next show for that will be announced soon. Obviously, we have July with Scum of the Earth. We got King of the Kill in August. We got a couple of other things up our sleeve. That we are working on. I am also just kind of throwing myself out there for getting some more reps with a couple of more places in and around the Midwest. Eventually, I personally want to be like one of those cats, like that you know, when they're doing commentary at a show, it's a big deal. I want to be like Nick Manuel. I want to be like Veda Scott. I want to be like Ian Riccomani. Ian Riccomani is one of my personal modern favorites. When people say, "What's your style like?" That's the closest I would say is that style, because I think Ian Riccobani is a great job of giving you knowledge, giving you attitude, and giving you entertainment. So like he can call the moves, he can give you the action and the run by, but he can show some personality as well. And that's what I try to do as well when I do a commentary anywhere. So those are my three places right now. I always want to do more. If anybody's interested, they can reach out to me on social media. They can reach out to me. I have an email. It's peapodcalls4u@gmail.com. And they can reach me out there, or they can find me on socials. So, and I'll plug that at the end whenever this is unless this is already the end of the episode, but I'll plug that at the end of the episode, for that as well.
I wanted to talk to you about one more thing, and that was Mania Weekend. You have been calling RPW with John Bullard,
Yes.
but Mania Weekend, John Bullard wasn't able to be in New Jersey, so you got to call Ron. How was it working with him?
Ron Neamey is the goat. When it does wrestling, Ron Neamey is an incredible commentator and a partner, and a lot of people really liked our dynamic together. And he was an incredible opportunity to talk with. He was a hell of a mind. We kind of talked a little bit leading up to the show and everything. I helped supply him with notes and everything. Like I get really in depth with my notes. You know, I set up a Google Drive for like John and I to share notes and everything. And I come in with I have a bunch of notebooks right now right next to me that has for all the different promotions I do. I have three right now, and the more promotions I'll be a part of, the more notebooks I will have to buy. Because I like to keep my notes in separate notebooks because I'm crazy like that, I guess. I do that. Oh, I forgot. I do with some post color. Co I do some post commentary for Salt Lake City for a little budding promotion called SLC Wars out there. And I might be doing a couple more other things that are in the pipeline. I don't think it's full. They haven't fully started on some stuff yet, but yeah, I've been doing some post production stuff as well. But Ron, to come back to it, Ron is an incredible talent. He's an incredible mind. Has done it all in the wrestling business, and me and him just kind of just kicked it off. We just matched each other's energy so well, and I cannot wait, hopefully, for the day that I get to do another show with Ron Neamey.
You worked with John Bullard, you worked with Ron Neamey. Those are two guys that are, pretty high on that list of guys to be able to say that you worked with.
I worked with Struggles once.
Okay, you did.
I did NHB 45.
Okay.
So that was the first time we went out to Jersey, not obviously this year, but last year. We did a weekend out in Jersey during that Faces of Death weekend. When WrestleMania was on the West Coast, we did stuff on the
Right.
East Coast. ICW had, excuse me, had NHB 44 and 45, and then H2O had a show, and then we and RPW had Street Trash. So on NHB 45, we came out to just go and support the show and everything. And you know, we get word from Struggles, like he wanted to talk with me and Stoney at the time. And he came to us and goes, "I can't do this show by myself. I need an extra set of hands. Can you two do it together with me?" So what we did is there was seven matches on that card. He called the first match by himself. I joined Struggles then for the next three matches. Then Stoney called the final three matches. Stoney was on the call when Hoodfoot won the American Deathmatch World Championship, when he won it from Brandon Kirk. So that was a huge moment for him, and also doing for Jersey. And I miss Stoney. I really do, and I hope for the best for him or for whatever he's doing. But I got to call with Struggles, and I got to call with Ron Neamey, and I called stuff with John Bullard, men that I really enjoy and have major respect for in the independent scene, in the deathmatch scene and everything. And I really want to do more. Like I want to eventually do television, dead serious. You know, I think I can have the skills. I want to hone myself more. I want to get my reps in. I truly want to do television on wrestling. I think I would be a perfect shot. If I can't do that, I want to be, like I said before, like that independent voice that can jump around from death matches to lucha to regular wrestling to anywhere. Like you put me on a show, people are I hopefully people will enjoy the broadcast of it. That's where I want to be.
And that year that Hoodfoot won the title from Brandon Kirk, KOF 3 actually went coast to coast that year. They were
He
in
did.
LA on Friday, and they
Yeah.
were both in New Jersey for the rest of the weekend.
Yeah. Like him and like Hoodfoot and MM3, and I think another person went coast to coast. They did Circle Six on a Friday. They came in on Saturday. They did shows that then, and then they did us on Sunday with Street Trash.
So that was a busy, long weekend for Hoodfoot,
Yeah.
winning the title after going coast to coast.
Oh, absolutely.
But Peapod, we are going to wrap things up. I appreciate you coming on, and I wanted to give you this opportunity because, what you do, like you said, the whole curtain analogy is so true. So I wanted to give you a moment to put yourself over a little bit here on the podcast because you definitely deserve it, and you're a name that's going to be soaring up the ranks of the commentary world. So where can people find you? And if anyone's wanting to book you for their shows, what's your social media? And again, give that email address.
So my social media, the best way, I like Instagram. I mean, I'm also on Facebook if you want to try to find my shoot name, I guess. Saying that phrase is weird to me, but I like Instagram, so it's Peapod on the media. I'm on there. I did have a Twitter account, but then I can't delete it and I lost the email and I can't log in, so don't message me there. I'm not active there. So Instagram is the best way. It's Peapod on the media. If you want to book me, I'd love to chat with you. And I got my own equipment. I'm using it right now, obviously. But if you would like to get more information and learn more about me, it is Peapod, P as in Paul, EA, P as in Paul, O, D as in dog, the number four. Excuse me, sorry, I fucked that up. I know my own email. We'll put it in the description. It's peapodcallsforyou@gmail.com. You can email me there, but also Peapod in the Media on Instagram. I'm gonna be a part of the upcoming Flophouse show, stuff for Chaotic Combat, Ruthless Pro Wrestling is my home. Anywhere else they want to give me a couple of bucks to call wrestling, I'll be there. Enjoy wrestling, enjoy each other, don't be a dick, and life's too short. And yeah, that's what I got.
Like I told you when I reached out to Peapod, and the time that we've worked with Chris, we've developed a relationship with Chris Kohlenberg as family, and you are part of the RPW family. and we think you do such great work, and you've come leaps and bounds over, like you said, not having commentary experience when you started to now. And we just are huge fans of you. Like I said, PWE and RPW, Chris and I joke about day ones. We are day ones with each other. Came in around the same time. We've had each other's back, promoting each other since the same time, and giving the word out for each other. So RPW has always been our love, and that promotion that is the most near and dear to us. And you being a part of that and seeing what you're doing and seeing what RPW is doing, it makes all of us at Pro Wrestling Edge so happy. But man, I appreciate you coming on, and we'll see you soon, man.
I appreciate all of you. You guys are good cats, and thank you so much for everything. I really, it really, it's, we really deeply appreciate it.